Hi, I'm Jess.
I'm Pranav.
And welcome to another episode of Dose of Pharma.
So Jess, do you know who's on today?
Our guests today are Este and Libby. Do you know who they are, Pranav?
Yeah, so for those of you who want to start your own company and also learn really good stuff about how to manage your time, this episode is perfect for you. We have Este and Libby, who started their own startup called Splendor while they were working full-time at ASOP. And they're from our course, they're alumni, they've been here, they relate. It's perfect. I hope you guys enjoy this one.
Yeah, let's jump into the episode.
Hello.
I'm Pranav.
Hi, I'm Este.
How are you guys going?
And I'm Libby.
Yeah. So you've been coping well?
Yeah, yes. We have. Yeah. And lucky, lucky for us because we're in the e-commerce business, it sort of helps. Like it doesn't really interrupt operations for us.
Yeah, thankfully.
So, yeah. Do you have like any strategies you put in place when we go into like lockdown? Like not like with the business or with yourselves to stay sane?
In terms of the business, not much because it's something that we do from home anyways. For ourselves,
not really. A lot of, like I'm at home anyway, so a lot of Netflix, a lot of reading, walks just to keep me sane. But yeah, it's been going well. How are you guys coping?
Yeah, we finished. I finished my exams yesterday, so
I've still got one more.
The feeling when you finish exams is the best.
Oh, it was great. Isn't it? It was so good. Yeah.
You guys are both alumni of the pharmaceutical science course. So can you tell us a bit about your journey from uni to where you are now?
So it wasn't that crazy, to be honest. We both finished uni and went straight into full-time work. We didn't take breaks or anything, which I'm kind of regretting. A three-month trip to Europe would have been nice. But no, yeah, we both left uni. Este did honours and then she went straight to full-time work after that. And then I finished my course and then went straight to full-time work. So we both worked at ESOP, which is where we met because we worked in the same team, the production team. But yeah, after that, 5 years for you at ESOP and then almost 4 for me. And then after ESOP, I went on to do my own thing with Splendor and then she changed careers.
It's worth noting that like when we were both at uni, I think we would have crossed paths, but we never actually knew each other during uni.
Yeah.
Which is quite funny now that when you go into the workforce, you realise there's so many people that did the exact same course. But you just happen to not have met them at uni. So it's definitely a very small world, especially for the like pharmaceutical community.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It's nice. Like
small
when
campus, small community.
Yeah, exactly. So it's nice to like when you go into the workforce and then you meet someone who has done the same course, you're like, oh, we're the same. Yeah. Sort of just become really good friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think what really helped us as well was the summer intern scholarship. It pretty much landed us the job at ESOP. So that was a huge stepping stone of getting us into that job. It didn't like get us in there because we still had to go through the interview process at ESOP, but you know, it was worth getting that 3 months experience or whatever it was doing the internship.
Yeah. So what kind of skills were required for you to land that summer internship?
Formulation, I guess. Well, we didn't do our internship in R&D, we still were in the production team. So it helped that we had a bit of formulation experience.
I think it's really just like taking a lot of initiative when these summer scholarships come up, like be the first to sort of jump onto it. And yeah, like when I was at uni, I look back now and kind of regret it, but I think not regret it, but I think when I was at uni, I never took a break during all the summer holidays or the winter, I think it was like the mid-year holidays and stuff. I had either been helping out with like all the honor students or the PhD students or working with the professors, or I would be looking for something to do within uni or looking at industries to voluntarily work there. So I think it helps to look very interested in doing volunteer work. I think sometimes volunteer work is a little bit underrated, but it really does help with your future career, which is what I did. So it's definitely not so much skill, obviously, because you're sort of new into the workforce, but it's more that determination and taking initiative at any opportunity that comes, even if it doesn't really sound that interesting, I would just go for it. And you'd know once you go for it whether you like it or you don't, but you know, at least you did try.
Yeah, that's why I'm really looking forward to placement. I think it's going to really help realize what I want to do.
Yeah, exactly. And often, like, with all of, like, from our own experiences and from all the different alumni, like, once you've had placement, often the industries do keep you on if you've done a really good job or you've left a really good impression. For pharmaceutical science, or at least within my time, it was actually quite easy to get a job because, you know, you've got these summer placements or summer internships, and then you, like, grow from there, and it's just like opportunities really open up. And I guess it's all credit to Laurence as well for organizing all of these events for us and taking on the course for us or the unit for us.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, I think we've been super lucky.
I think we underestimate what a great course it is, really.
Yeah.
Because not many courses offer you like placements and industry experience. So yeah, we're all pretty lucky.
Yeah.
Obviously for you guys, uni was ages ago, but what would you say is what part of uni do you still apply in your day-to-day, like say a job or say like a day at Splendor? Or
definitely not HPLC, I will tell you that. Like, that is just thrown out the window, to be honest.
Sorry, Laurence.
Yeah. She's gonna rewatch this and be like yeah, but no, I wouldn't say like so much those sorts of skills, but I've taken on a lot of networking skills from uni. Yeah, I think that has helped a lot, like that confidence in talking to people and having interest in what they do and showing them that you're interested as well. Yeah, for me, networking skills.
I think for me, like from uni onto like the workforce, it's really, uni is uni and you've got your studies and all that stuff, but I actually think the workforce is a little bit tougher because there's so much things happening all at once.
Yeah.
I think uni was quite structured in the way that you learn and things just, like in the workforce, like there's so many things that happen all at once. So like, I think what I took on the most or used the most was my ability to sort of really use your time well, your organizational skills. So it's almost like the way you, what you do to study is almost how what you need to carry through to everything you do. I think that's the biggest sort of skill you need to take on from uni for any kind of industry. But yeah, I think that was what I can think of right now that like I had to carry through, because as much as we all want to try and get out of uni, it doesn't necessarily mean it's that workforce is any easier than what uni is.
Yeah, I think those organizational skills and time management skills are more important. Like I've used those skills more than any other technical skills that we learn in practice or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you can find a way to harness it now, it'd be so much easier to do so than to do it in a workforce where things are just happening like 100 times the speed of what it is at uni. But if you take it slow and practice it at uni, you'll be so well off. And like you'll get into the workforce and be like, this is a breeze. I have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes it seem even more crazy what you did with working full time and then starting a business at the same time as working full time.
Yeah.
It must have been very intense.
Very inspiring. Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of helped that our roles at ESOP were really intense. Like it was just go all the time. So when we started a business, we're like, no problem. We're getting used to this. We're like stressed 24/7.
So how is, what would you describe your day at Splendor?
Yeah, so obviously Estee still works her full-time job elsewhere. So she pretty much does the night shift at Splendor and I do the day shift, you could kind of say. So for me, it's during the day I look after the day-to-day operations. So everything to keep the business running, that's packing orders, checking emails, talking to our suppliers, and then the other 80% of the time is a lot of content creation. So that's things like making reels on Instagram, editing YouTube videos, making marketing material, coming up with promotions that we run for the week, and then scheduling all of that stuff in. So it's creating the content and then putting it into slots. So this promo on this week and this YouTube video being uploaded on this week. So yeah, it's a lot of creativity. So it's kind of triggered that creative side of my brain that I never used to, like I never would have thought I'd had to use in uni. So that's me during the day, and then Este kind of takes over at night by creating more content and then doing all the back-end checks that I probably would have forgotten during the day and saying, hey, how about we try this? And then I do that the next day kind of thing. Does that?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah. So like I don't spend as many hours as Libby does. So I normally just do all the back-end stuff, like all the paperwork and stuff, which is sort of a bit nicer to do while it's at night time and you're kind of a bit tired. You're just like, it's like work that is not like, doesn't require so much brain power. But yeah, essentially that's how our roles are split for Splendor. But again, it comes into like time management comes so strongly into this, and making sure, number one, that you use it wise, your time wisely, but then also that you don't burn yourself out.
I think it really helps that we're strong in specific areas of the business as well. So Este is really good at numbers and data analysis and things like that, whereas I'm not so much. I'd rather film a reel like 100 times and try and get it right. So yeah, kind of like we kind of feed off each other like that, and you know, like it's not just one person, like both of us focusing on the one thing, like we spread the skills around.
Yeah, so is that time management with like US Day, does that really help you balance it with work, like your full-time job?
Yeah, definitely. So it's sort of, for me, when I was working from home, it was almost like opening one laptop, like closing one laptop and the other one would open. So yeah, like I'd write a little to-do list of what I want to do for that night, and once I finished it and I've done it in like an hour, then that's the day. Like I wouldn't push myself any further just to make sure I'm not exerting too much and then feeling a bit run down. So yeah, it's just making a little neat to-do list, and then if I'm done, I'm done. Like I'm not gonna add more onto the to-do list. And I think yeah, like that's what helps me make
sure you gotta keep
a nice balance.
Everything balanced, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
So you guys had full-time jobs and you were 5 years into it, but what inspired you to have your own startup and do your own business when you had a full-time job? And because sometimes people are scared to take that leap of faith because there's so many aspects of having your own business, but it's really incredible and courageous what you guys have done. So what inspired you? What's your purpose or what was your drive behind starting Splendor?
Mm-hmm. It all started with Este's grand idea.
And so I initially sort of was thinking that there's sort of a gap. It all starts with there's a gap in the market, right?
Yeah.
So it all sort of stemmed from there, and it was like, oh, it could work. And so then I sort of shared it with my partner, and he was like, oh, well, why don't you like try and see if you can do it with Libby or something? Because at the time, when this idea came to me, Libby and I were really, really good friends. But the funny thing was we went on a trip together, and the question came up of whether we would start a business together, and I instantly said no. Like, it was the quickest no we've ever made. And Libby was a bit like, oh.
I was like, that's fine. It's not like I wanted to do that. Don't worry about my feelings.
I just had, like, the first thing that immediate thought was no. And it was more because like we just had such a good friendship, and like you just hear stories of people, friendships sort of get ruined from these kind of partnerships. So initially I sort of warmed up to it. And then so when my partner was like, maybe ask Libby whether you want to start it together, I sort of hesitantly sort of asked her.
I remember you were like, hey, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I was sort of just like spreading, like making my breakfast, and I'm like, should I just ask her? And I went for it. But like, I think what's so great about our partnership is that I'm sort of the type of person that has the idea but no courage. And like, I admit, like had I not spoken to Libby, this wouldn't have happened at all.
Yeah, I feel like I kind of pushed you to do it.
Yeah. So I'm not the courageous type at all. I think more about the risks than anything else. I'm like, oh, what if this happens? What if this happens? And so when I told Libby, because she's a risk taker, she was like, all right, well, then come over on Saturday and we'll get a business name. We'll apply for an ABN. And I was like, hold on up, but I just told you the idea. You can process everything. Let's just take it slow. And she's like, no, let's do it this Saturday. And so it all just literally like snowballed into something. So we didn't expect it to be how it is right now. But yeah, like Libby can tell you all about risk taking, but I'm none of that. But it was definitely, it really came out of our friendship.
Yeah, that's what inspired the whole business. Like we wanted to build something to represent our friendship and merge it with our love for anything beauty as well. So that's where our motto comes in, really, create bonds through beauty. It's just like, trying to show people the bond that we have as friends and creating more bonds with other people in the beauty community.
Yeah. I watched a TED Talk a while ago, and it was saying how true happiness actually comes from the relationships that you make with your family, friends, and the community. And it's actually not success, or it's not climbing the ladder or money or materialistic things. That's actually not where happiness comes from. So I really took that as an inspiration, and that's how we want Splendor to be. It's a place to bond and feel a sense of happiness where usually life can get quite busy. So that's what inspired us. But yeah, like it's also the balance of the both of us. You know, I'm good with creating ideas, but I don't do well with risk taking. But then Libby is there to pick up that risk taken and sort of give me the confidence or reassurance that no, this is fine, let's just do it, and if it doesn't work, it's okay. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, I think the biggest thing I learned from Libby from starting Splendor is like, if you do want to do something, just do it. And like the courageous part, it's not that it's courageous, it's more that we're okay with failing if it comes to it, you know. And we get drilled in with like, if you fail with exams, that's it, that's your life, that's the end of it kind of thing. And I think it's not the same for business. It's like if you fail, you're actually learning something out of it rather than doing well all the time.
There's no such thing as failure, really.
There's no such thing. So I think if you take away that fear of failing and you just go for it, I think anyone can have that kind of courageous to just go for it. So I wouldn't say it's like a super courageous myth. It was just more that Libby just pushed me and here we are. So, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that's what pushed you, Libby, to like leave your full-time job and be able to take that step to leave a job and work full-time on your own business?
That timing was so well executed. Like you couldn't have come to me at any better time, because during that time that she asked me, I was ready to leave my job. I was ready for a change in lifestyle, a change in environment, you know, like there was just something in me that was like, I don't want to work 9 to 5 forever. But yeah, at the timing, the universe just magically did the thing. And she came to me and I was like, perfect, this is like my exit card, thank you. And then yeah, like I always knew that I wanted to do something as well. Like I just didn't want to leave and do nothing. Like I knew that I had this kind of entrepreneurial flair about me.
It's actually in her blood, to be honest. Your mum does it, your mom does it. So.
Yeah, but I just didn't, like, have an idea. So when she, like, brought the idea to me, I was like, yeah, we've got to do this together, you know. Like, I'm ready. I've got the fire in me.
Yeah.
You guys have a really great dynamic. One balances each other. And, like, you've got a really strong foundation for your business, which I think what makes Splendor so great, because you've got a strong foundation. So even if one falls down, there's someone else, like if one of you falls down, Libby would pick you up and vice versa.
Which
is, I think it's great for a business. So
I think it's doing, like, in my eyes, I think that's why it's doing so well, is because we complement each other really well. We finish off our sentences. We're like married, you guys. That's how it's got to be, though.
Yeah, but also like when it's about business, we are very upfront with each other. If someone has, not that any of us have a problem, but if we had something in our minds, we'll just sort of say it outright, and the other would always be quite understanding to the situation. So we'll never let sort of personal life really come into it either. Like, we try to be honest with each other, or any situations we need to be quite upfront about it. Like, we have told ourselves, like, if there's any issues that are on your mind, just say it, because if you start dwelling on it, that's when relationships start to fall apart. But I think if anyone is sort of fearing or wanting to do a business but just doesn't know how to do the first step, I think it's always nice to actually have a friend to do it with, because you kind of like, as you said, like you balance yourself out.
Yeah.
You want to have someone to lean on
yeah.
when things don't go as right or you have those low days. So you've got someone else to pick you up and pick up your mood. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything you wish you knew before you started the business?
Yes and no. Like, we went into it knowing quite a lot of knowledge of how a business, like a personal or a skincare brand works, because we had worked at Aesop for quite a while. So we kind of knew how all of the operations work, come from logistics, supply chain, R&D, creative, like we kind of knew the background side of things. And the one thing we didn't quite know was like which bank account to choose.
Just the basic things.
Yeah, how to do all of our taxes for the business. It was more so all that stuff that we hadn't learned from uni or had yeah. experience at Aesop. So funny story was when we went to the bank and we wanted to get ourselves a bank account, the lady was like, oh, so what kind of bank account do you want? And we're like, the one with the $0 fee.
On the website, it should cost $0, the free one.
Yeah, but we just don't know which one it is, but it said $0. Yeah. And so the lady was like, okay.
I think so embarrassing.
Yeah, so those are the sort of things that we hadn't known about, or even just like, you know, the backhand operations of things. So that those things we've definitely like learnt it all now and learnt it along the way.
Yeah. To be honest, I don't think we could have learnt it. Even if we wanted to learn it before we started the business, I don't think you would have. Like, it's yeah. so much better yeah. learning as you go, because you're experiencing it firsthand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So so trailing back to how you guys said that your summer internship really helped you guys land your job at Aesop, we're going to be in the same situation now. And I'm sure all of us want to make a really good impression. So what advice would you give to pretty much everyone in a cohort? How to show yourself or make a really good impression so that they want to keep you on, and you just leave them with a very good impression so the next time you apply, they're like, oh, just come, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think back. I'm like, that was years ago. What did I do?
I think because with Aesop, we've hired quite a lot of people from the summer, the placements or the summer interns. And I think the one thing that really stands out of those students is actually that they take on initiative. So I think, you know, even when you're in a workforce and you don't quite know what you're doing, but at least you're taking interest in how the business is run and sort of going and put your hand up and be like, even if it's like a tedious role or a tedious task, just put your hand up and be like, look, I'm going to do it. It's okay. Like, if you need a hand, I'll be there to help you.
Mm.
It's really just showing employer sort of that you're actually there to help them rather than them helping you. If yeah, that kind yeah. of makes sense, like that yeah. really leaves a really good impression that you make yourself look like you need to be there. Do you know what I mean? Like, without you, they're at a loss.
Yeah.
that's what I sort of keep in mind when I first start a role or something, that I want to make myself so known that when I'm not there, they're going to be like, oh, crap, I should have tried harder to keep like that. Just if you had that mentality, then you'll do so well.
Yeah, and don't just do what they've asked you to do. Like, if they're saying, oh, go formulate this, and then you go do that, and then you go and sit at your desk and have a Tim Tam. Like, you know, go out of your way and say, what else can I do more? You know, like as they said, even if it's just the tedious task, like, make yourself useful kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're going to be the task that they really be like, oh, I wish they were still here to do this task that I don't want to do.
Yeah.
So just be like the person that, like, you know, they couldn't live without kind of thing. Yeah, that would be my advice.
Yeah.
And then do you have any advice on like on students our age finding like their purpose and forming their goals? Like, what kind of goals did you have at this stage? Like, do you just want to go into ASOF at that point, or were you planning being like, one day maybe I'll have my own business? Or yeah, how do you really determine what you want to do?
To be honest, when I was a graduate, I had I was so narrow-minded when I was a graduate. I was just like, my goal is to get into ESOP, get into cosmetics, you know, maybe be a formulation scientist or whatever. So I feel like that's the mistake that I had when I was a fresh graduate, is being so narrow-minded and saying, if you're not a pharmaceutical scientist, you're a failure, you know, like, so I wish I could have just told myself that even though you studied pharm sci, it doesn't mean you have to go down that path. It could be a good stepping stone into something else, you know, and if you're passionate about something else, like starting your own business, then go and do that. Use the skills that you've used during pharm sci to take you there. But yeah, just don't be so narrow-minded about where you have to go just because you studied it.
I probably sound like a broken record, but like, again, it's all about taking initiative. It wasn't so much a goal for me, but it was like, take on any opportunity that comes to you. Like, don't be like, oh, I'm too good for that kind of opportunity. Like, yeah, I'm not even going to try. Like, you never know that if you've tried it and you're going to be like, oh, I actually quite enjoyed that. So then you sort of find out what kind, or maybe you'll do it and you really are certain that you don't enjoy that and you know to take a different pathway.
Yeah.
But just like at this stage, especially as a graduate, opportunities are like always there. It's just your, you know, your initiative to actually take them on.
Mm-hmm.
Even whether they're big or small, it's just build yourself up, like build up your resumes and build your character as well. And that's what looks really good on a resume and onto obviously a potential employer. Do what you can when the opportunity arises.
Yeah.
So it's like Esther said, like it's a learning curve. It's, you learn as you go and finding out what where your passion lies. So it's like a really good process of knowing what you want to do, because you need to have that passion to do something, right? So this is a really good way to find your own passion so that it keeps on motivating you and driving you.
I just wanted to add, like, networking also is also really important. So when like the uni organizes all the networking evenings or whatever, like, don't be afraid to actually approach the person and just start a conversation. Like, you never know where that would lead to. Often when we do go to those things, some students are a little bit intimidated or a little bit worried as to how they come across, and honestly, we're all there to network, and so we already expect for you to come up to us and just like ask us a question or for advice, because out of that networking night, you can grab a mentor out of that, or you can grab an advice from there, or it really shapes your future. You never know, but had you not taken the first step to go and tap someone on the shoulder and start talking to them, you would just not know.
I think the more opportunities that you take, the closer you get to where you want to be.
Yeah.
Because you either hate it or you love it. Doesn't matter. It takes you to the closer to your end goal.
Mm.
I think that's some great advice to end on. So where can our viewers learn more about Splendor and you guys?
You can learn more from us on our social media platforms. So we're always active on Instagram. We're posting something every single day. So that's at splendor.brands. And on our website as well, we've got a little about us page that you can visit as well.
We recently also jumped onto YouTube as well, so you can watch us there make fun of each other and fools of ourselves sometimes. And I think also we're always happy to like for people to reach out to us if they needed advice or wanted to know a little bit more. Like, we're also so available by email or by Facebook or Instagram. Because that's pretty much our motto. We do want to connect with everyone who's in love with beauty, or just in life in general too. So
yeah, especially because we've been in like you guys' shoes before. Like, we know how intimidating it is around this time, being freshly graduated and stuff. So we're here to help.
Yeah, thank you. It's been great talking to you guys.
It was really great. So really insightful.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Yes.
No worries.
I wish we had this in our times.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
To conclude the episode, we wish to acknowledge the people of the Kulin Nations on whose land we are gathered today. We pay our respects to the elders past, present, and emerging. For those listening who may be based elsewhere, we pay our respects to the traditional owners of the land from wherever you may be listening from. We especially welcome any Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people listening in today.